Aurora, Jacob Burma, translated by Marion S. Owens. Louis-Claude de Saint-Martin was so inspired by the writings of the mystic Jacob Burma, 1575 to 1624, that he learned German when he was 40 years old so that he could read his second master's original words. In the text below, Provincial Master Marion Owens translates from Baroque German into English excerpts from Burma's description of his spiritual awakening in his famous first work, Aurora.
As my miserable soul lifted itself seriously up to God, as in a thunderstorm, with my heart and mind, including all thoughts and desires locked therein, and without stopping to wrestle, receiving God's love and mercy, and not giving up, God then illuminated me with the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Holy Spirit broke through within me. It was like a thunderstorm. You will find no book in which you will discover divine wisdom. If you go out into a blooming meadow, where you can perceive, smell, and taste God's wondrous powers, even though this is only an example of the divine power, because, in third principle, material matter is made visible. But to seekers, it's a dear teacher. They will find much there. And when I write, giving testimony to the heavenly God, the divine itself has impressed these things into my mind, so that I believe it without any doubt, understand and experience all, not through my physical body, but through my spiritual being, within my soul, with the will and power of God. This is not to construe that my understanding is more evolved than others, but I am only like a small twig, only a small spark from God. The divine can place me where God wills. I cannot resist. This is not my natural will, bequeathed with all my strength, but as my soul withdraws, I do not understand the work, and in all respects have to beat and scratch the devil, and am, as are all human beings, subject to sadness and temptation. God has given me this understanding. It is not me who knows this, but the I that I am. The correct observations are these. If the human will rests within God's will, the soul will see with God's eye its eternal depth, because it remains within God's word. Thus, the spoken word and the soul become a magical image of the constellation. The astral soul cannot become form simply out of fantasy, but becomes form according to the image within mind. Thus, the soul can see what the highest of high has planned and what should happen. Accordingly, the word of God, as the source of the soul, speaks to the soul in images and impressions which only the soul understands. If I had no other book but mine, that I myself am, then I have enough books. The whole Bible lies within me. As I have God's soul, what more books do I need? Should I fight for what is outside of me before I learn what is within me? Thus I read myself. Thus I read God's book, and all you, my dear brothers and sisters, are also my alphabet that I read within me, because my mind and will finds you within me. I wish with all my heart that you would find me too. Although we cannot say of God that the pure Godhead is nature, but a threefold majesty, we must say, however, that God is within nature, even though nature does not know it. When reason speaks of God, what God is in spirit and will, it would make sense to consider God to be something remote to this world and unknown, something in a different place than this world, residing high above the stars, who governs only through its spirit, with an omnipresent power somewhere in this world, this threefold majesty, whose beauty in all is evident. Because of our reasoning, our reason descends into the illusion that God is really a stranger. God is all. God is light and darkness, love and hate and fire. But the divine alone can name itself God with the light of divine love. It is an eternal contrast between darkness and light. None seizes the other, and one is not the other, but is its own spirit, but different in virtue, and neither one exists by itself. God cannot be described specifically as this or that. The divine self has neither nature nor body. God is not inclined particularly towards anything, because nothing comes before the deity, not good or evil. The divine itself is the beginning, an eternal nothingness. God is nothing and everything, and is one will in which lies the whole world and all of creation. In the divine, all is eternal and without beginning, in equal measurement. God is neither light nor darkness, neither love nor hate, but the eternal oneness. When I contemplate what God is, I say, God has no motive, no beginning. God owns nothing but the divine self. God is eternally created and recreates the divine self out of nothing. God is the will of wisdom, and wisdom is God's manifestation. The name of God is Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. If you wish to write about God or see God, observe nature. One cannot write about God. The soul sees the Creator but cannot speak about it, because the Divine Spirit is a power which cannot be spoken or written about in human language. The Divine Spirit, the Holy Ghost, emerges from the Creator and is the third-fold being of the Godhead. The same as the elements of this world emerge from the sun and stars and are the moving spirit within all material things of this world, likewise, the Divine Spirit is the moving spirit within God and eternally emerges from God and fulfills God entirely. In other words, God regenerates. This weaving strength is within the entire unity of the Creator. Therefore, you noble human being, let not the Antichrist and the devil fool you by trying to convince you that divinity is far away from you and lead you to a remote and distant heaven. Nothing is closer to you than heaven, because within you are all three principles of eternity, and within you will regenerate the holy paradise as God lives within. To describe God further, picture a wheel standing before you with seven other wheels. One wheel is made within the other one, so it could stand on all ends on all sides. Now remember this. The seven wheels are the seven spirits of God. They are reborn, renewed, one within the other, and is as if you take one wheel, and within it are seven wheels, all existing within each other, and all have spherical rims like a round ball. Thus God's Spirit permeates all space in eternity like a wheel, wherein the beginning is also the end. The being of all beings is one, but divides itself into two principles, light and darkness, in bliss and suffering, in good and evil, love and anger, fire and light. And from this second eternal beginning, a third beginning arises, creating its own eternal desire to be. What else is hidden? The philosophia and the deep meaning of God, the heavenly delight, the revelation of the creation of angels, the revelation of the fall of the devil, from which comes all evil, the creation of this world, the purpose for the creation of humanity and all creatures within this world, and the secrets of regeneration and eternal life. This will simply all be revealed in depth. Why not at the height of this mystic work? So that any cannot be praised that they did it, and all would be destroyed through the devil's consorts. Why does the Creator do this? To show that the time will come for reintegration and to retrieve what was lost, so that humanity will see and enjoy the fulfillment and exalt in the pure light and knowledge of God. That is why now will arise an aurora, the morning red sky, so that the day can be noted and acknowledged. Whoever wants to sleep can continue to sleep. Whoever stays on guard and awake and trims one's lamp will always be awake. See, the bridegroom is arriving. Whoever is awake and decorated will go to the eternal heavenly wedding. Whoever sleeps, however, will sleep forever and ever in the deep prison of tormented abyss.